This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
One more hour for this week, a momentous one it has been, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. The two big news events of yesterday, the fact that the camp was cleared, the Ossietti camp at least. We have to remember there's more to do. We'll talk with the governor about that in a moment. But the Ossietti camp clearing and all of the incredible efforts by law enforcement and our National Guard. A lot of that coverage on our Facebook page, social media, and website, so you can check that there. Same thing with the entire Coffee with Kramer event and all of the drama that brought. Also online, so check those out as well, and you can get them beginning to end. Got through all the calls last hour. Very proud of myself. Everybody that was waiting, we got them in. We were jam-packed to the very end, and we got them in with the exception of Fred and Wing. Fred, one of our regulars, and a great soul who provides a little, common sense every now and then on the program. And I said, Fred, we're out of time, but the governor's coming up. You can talk with him. He said, no, I just want to let everybody know that I found a piece of advice to understand everything that's happening with this pipeline protest and everything going on, everything else. He said, just tell folks to read 2 Peter verse 3. So I can hardly wait. I can hardly even wait to find out what Fred has in mind there. He said the word fiend is in there. I said, what is that? False show, sham, fake, Well, that fits a lot of things, for sure. Water protectors that don't exactly protect the water would be one example of fake and fiend and everything else. So thanks, Fred. Appreciate that. 2 Peter verse 3 is what Fred wanted me to share with you. And I did that since he didn't get a chance to say it himself on the program. This hour, an update on the North Dakota legislative session. Half one is done, and the crossover is here. Al Carlson, the House Majority Leader, as well as Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader, joining us a little later on in the program. They'll be taking your calls, and we'll start with Governor Doug Burgum from Washington, D.C., and the Republican Governors Association gathering there. Governor, thanks for the time.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you.
Likewise. So describe your feelings of what you saw unfold this week, yesterday, especially with the final camp clearing there at the Ossietti camp.
Well, knowing the weeks of preparation that went in across all these agencies, our state highway patrol, sheriff's departments, the sheriff's departments across the state, city policemen, the National Guard, the EMAC, the folks that came from other states to help us when the federal government was not there. This a lot of coordination across all these agencies, other state agencies, emergency services, Game and Fish, Water Commission. Very complex, and in many ways, yesterday going to clean a camp, a potentially very dangerous operation. So I can't be more proud and more pleased with the execution and the leadership of how that went on. If you're watching online, I mean, you saw professionalism, you saw restraint, you saw people that were empathetic, you saw people that cared. You know, these people were briefed. They knew that in that camp there was, people who may have been, had mental health issues, people that may have had homeless veterans have been left behind in December. There were some dangerous anarchists in there, but there's a lot of people that were just there and didn't have a way out. And so I think our group, incredible. And not just to clear the camp, make the final arrest secure. We now can basically declare, at least in Morton County, we no longer have any ungoverned land in North Dakota. A rule of law has been reestablished, but then coming in right behind the contractors, the native contractors, coordinating with the Corps, taking down all those buildings so that we can help protect the environment. It was an incredible day.
What could have been compared to what happened is pretty significant. And that's evident from some of the things that have been learned, I understand, from some of the plans of these anarchists and some of the things you've seen. Anything that sticks out to you from what you saw in the camp? Obviously, there was intel, but there wasn't, actual factual information of what was in the ground. I've heard some people say, well, there were no guns, so therefore there was no threat. I mean, was it less of a threat than you thought, the same, more, or what?
Well, we had very credible intel that there were weapons in the camp, and certainly they had a chance to get all those out. We weren't inspecting cars on the way out. On the day of the closure and leading up to it, we're very clear and very firm but patient that 2 p.m. on Wednesday we're coming in. And this is a made for social media event from their standpoint. So I'm sure there was at least planning on those remaining in the camp to say, look, we're going to try to make the law enforcement look bad, not us. And so if there were material in there left, very tragic, the injuries that occurred on Wednesday morning before the deadline, before any law enforcement, because we had no law enforcement went into the camp on Wednesday, on the day of the 2 o'clock deadline. We were trying to help, vulnerable people get on their way. And, there was that explosion, and whether that was, gasoline or a propane tank. But the fact that we have a 7-year-old and a 17-year-old, young woman with serious injuries is just a tragedy. I mean, you've got to think about, where were the parents? Why were these kids even there? And what are they doing, near a building that's being set on fire, either near it or in it? So again, just, one more tragedy that completely wouldn't have had to happen if there was, people being responsible about around their own actions. So that was one sad point. But again, our law enforcement, fantastic job in terms of what they've done.
I want your take on, Scott,
I don't know if you saw any of the photos there when you got into the camp, but we've already in collaborating with the tribal contractors and collaborating with the tribe. We had already removed 242 roll-off dumpster loads of garbage out of there before we went in, because we knew that by helping it clean up, that improved line of sight, it would make it better for the environment, would be better for the health of the people there, and it would be better for law enforcement when they eventually got in. And then you get in there yesterday and you see those photos, there's not any landfill in North Dakota looks better than this one, because landfills in North Dakota are clay lined and don't leach into a water system, and landfills in North Dakota don't have human waste in them because we have sanitation systems. And so from a biological, ecological thing, getting in there, the number of gas cans, propane tanks, abandoned vehicles, I mean, it was not a minute too late in terms of trying to get that cleaned up before further melt and further leaching all that into the Missouri and Cannonball River systems.
Monty and Bismarck, question for Governor Doug Burgum at 800-228-0550. What's up, Monty?
I would just like to know, I was watching a live feed yesterday, and I just saw stacks and stacks of wood piles and stuff. And I was wondering if they were just going to toss that out, or if some of that could be donated to charities like the Marine Corps League that fixes up houses for veterans.
That's a great suggestion, and yeah, I mean it is. It's both confusing that at a time when after we issued an evacuation order, and any rational person would know that they're in a floodplain, that they still had loads of fresh lumber being delivered. And as recently as last Sunday, people were still working on constructing buildings. So that's again just speaks to the sort of the irrationality of some decision making that was being made down there, but. Through all of the material that's left, whether it's an impounded automobile, whether it's a teepee or a sweat lodge, or whether it's the this lumber, the Army Corps of Engineers, it's their land. They're taking the lead with contractors to impound all that stuff, and we'll get a chance to make decisions on how all that stuff gets disposed. But that's a thoughtful suggestion.
Thank you, Monty. I only have a minute or so left. I want to go quickly through this. One, this isn't over, right? Some of these people, a fair amount of these people, have gone to the other camps. While there's an evacuation order, there's a different law enforcement perspective there. What's going to happen with the other camps?
Well, you're right on that, Scott, because the whole legal approach to eviction notice is on tribal land different than on Army Corps land. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is the law enforcement arm in Sioux County, has got staffed up now to 80 people. A shout out to Senator Hoban on Bureau of Indian Affairs. He's been very persistent in getting us keeping the pressure on with the BIA. The tribe itself has asked for more law enforcement resources, so they're staffed up at a better level. And they've got 3 days left before the eviction notice there. And that'll just be an ongoing operation to try to, follow through on the wishes of not just North Dakota, but the tribe, because the tribe has voted repeatedly that they want people to go home, as have the residents in the Cannonball District who've been really negatively affected by the presence of the protesters there.
In a half a minute on what you'd like additionally from the federal government, and has your conversation Monday related to the fact they're not doing it well helped? Is there action with the Trump administration on this?
Well, we've talked to people at the highest levels, including people in national security that work right for the president. I think they're starting to understand how this whole thing devolved under the Obama administration, and how the rule of law disappeared, and how the Obama administration allowed this to happen. And they're starting to get that. But we're going to have to continue to work our way through. I think getting cleanup dollars is going to be easy. I think getting reimbursed for law enforcement dollars is going to be harder. But we're committed to work as hard as we can. The Attorney General Wayne Stendon has said he'd be happy to get involved in suing the federal government and do everything he can to make sure the taxpayers in North Dakota don't pay for this mess.
Yeah, makes sense, Governor. Enjoy your time. I know it's busy out in Washington. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Governor Doug Burgum, Al Carlson. When we come back, don't go away.
MBI Energy Services is hiring. A career with MBI lets you enjoy excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules that best meet your family's needs. Join our team at MBI Energy Services. Go to MBIEnergyServices.com or on their Facebook page to find out about today's listings of great career opportunities. With hundreds of companies operating in the oil fields, why should you choose MBI? It's the best. MBI Energy Services. Tell them Scott sent you.
Central Steel Building and Construction is your premier source for GSI grain bins, GSI grain dryers, and GSI grain handling equipment. Central Steel also offers livestock water, welding supplies, and a variety of gears, pulleys, plus bulk bolts and nuts. Call Central Steel today for your GSI grain storage, material handling, and grain drying needs. 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington. Online at grainstuff.com.
Polar Service Center is hiring. If you hear nothing else, hear that. And hear this number, 701-495-0997. That's right, 495-0997. When you call that number, Adam will answer. He is the recruitment director for Polar Service Center. They have locations in Williston, in Killdeer, in Billings, Montana. Polar is the biggest tank trailer manufacturer in North America. They build the best tank trailer on the road. Their service center serves those and other brands. They're looking for technicians. They pay great. If you know anyone with any kind of experience with tank or trailer parts, Polar Service Center wants you. Do you want to be appreciated? Do you want to be compensated for the value you bring to an organization? How'd you like to make $32 an hour? That's what they pay. Great benefits and more. Call Adam now, 701-495-0997. Polar Service Center, 495-0997. Now, Polar Service Center. Or click careers at polarservicecenters.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription over-the-counter drugs and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Thunder, all right. We had some thunder yesterday, I'll tell you. My gosh, it's quite a week we've had here, folks, and it'll take a fair amount of time just to sort everything out, but we shall, and we will, especially with the help of this great audience. We're going to talk about the North Dakota legislative session. There's one, I think, unfortunate thing. And I felt this really this way really about the presidential election because of the fact that we've been gripped with what's happening with the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. We're day 198 today. And, you know, it consumes so much energy, so much oxygen. It really does. I had a great Facebook post from somebody at that point saying, you know, what's been lost from all the time it's taken for that? And one of the things for us here and, you know, for many in the media is to keep tabs on what's happening in the North Dakota legislative session, because that's important, too. So we're not going to fall prey to that today. We have with us the House Majority Leader Al Carlson was in studio here today. Al, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Nice to see you again. On the phone is the Senate Majority Leader Rich Wardner. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Scott.
All right, and folks, if you have questions or comments for either of these gentlemen, let us know. 800-228-0550 is the toll-free telephone number. Locally, 258-0550, 258-0550. You can always text Todd, too, at 701-226-8503. That's 701-226-8503 with your text questions. Got them for a couple of segments, so fire away with your questions. Happy to have them. Let me start with you guys, each giving just a little summary on the first half and maybe what you think are the most significant accomplishments in the budget issues and dealing with the situation we're in. Senator Wardner, I'll start with you. What do you most want people to know about what's happened in the first half?
Well, the first thing I want people to know is that we were able to maintain the funding for K through 12. There were no allotments, no decreases from their funding from last time. We're able to hold that even. And no matter what, they're going to be fully funded. And then, of course, the other thing is, I think, and this happened in the House, and I don't mean to take this away from Al, but nursing home funding, they defeated the bill that provided for the provider tax. And we then are funding the deficiency with general fund dollars. And for those people that understand, that provider tax was on the private pay. The private pay paid the tax in order to generate money to match federal dollars, and we thought that was a very unfair thing. So those are a couple of things that I think were important. I'll mention one more, the criminal justice system. We're working on that to provide a way to deal with people that are addicted to drugs. Instead of locking them up, we're going to try to find a better way and a cheaper and more efficient way to deal with these people and get them back into society.
All right, Al, how about you?
You know, he hit probably the two most important things, Scott. You know, our budget shortfall was quite significant. We had allotment process and good news is that the agencies took a reduction and the difference we chipped in from our stabilization fund. The good news is we had that money. But because of that, that carried forward into this session. So that was our new starting point for the next budget is what we did with the allotments had to be, that'd be our starting point. And quite honestly, our revenue is still a little weak. Things are rebounding a little bit, but the revenue is a little weak. But the keeping a promise to the two big areas that Rich talked about are really important. And they were both in the House. The human services one, the nursing home issue. I bet you I had 50 emails today, people thanking us for putting that money back in and restoring their funding in the human services budget. And that wasn't easy to do on a day when revenue's short. It wasn't easy to do, but we did it. And also to make sure that our future is protected in K-12 education. That was another one that was a big deal. Both of those took money off the table that could have been used in other things, but those were two of our top priorities. Senator Wardner had the marijuana legislation on his side, and he did a fantastic job of cleaning up a pretty interesting initiated measure that passed that had a lot of issues, one of which they forgot to decriminalize it, and those people, anybody touched it, would have been in jail or subject to jail. So he had a tough job, and they got that handled great. So, but it's not over. I think Rich and I both agree this was a starting point. Now we exchange budgets, we exchange bills, and we tried to keep education, the elderly, and the needy, and public safety at the top of our radar screen.
Eric in Mayville, question for the two legislative leaders with us today on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Scott, and hello to the other, Rich and Al. I was just wondering, you know, I've watched the news, read the papers, and UND, you know, they're having some troubles with the budgets and whatever. But here I see on there where the president, he needs this bartender for for the $60,000 a year. And I don't know about you guys. I don't need one. I can mix my own drinks. And I think if they're going to have to be all these cuts, he can do without his little personal bartender.
Yeah, now, just so we're clear, it was a position that's long been funded. There would be more, you know, food services and kind of just taking care of the residents. But there was a bartender function in there, and it was, you know, certainly that allowed for lots of fodder on this one. But you know, specifically on that position and how it was handled at UND, Al, your thoughts?
I think I'll let Rich cover that because we haven't seen that budget yet. I think Rich could give you a better insight on what's going on there.
Senator, what was your take on that?
Well, first of all, the legislature block grants money to the universities in the university system, and we do not micromanage them. I mean, we've cut their budgets significantly, and they have to make a decision on what they're going to fund. And so that is something that is decided on the campus locally, and we don't get into that. We block grant to them, and I will just tell everybody that we have shaved a lot of dollars out of higher ed.
Appreciate the call, and Eric, you know, I hear you. I think that's...
Can I have one more question?
Sure.
I own some farmland, you know, and the taxes, and I look at my statement, and so much of that goes to the schools, you know, and just getting that, and you got, there's all these mill levies, there are all these taxes, I got drain assessments, and, you know, it's just, all the time, there's just, it gets to be more and more and more all the time.
Well, we sent a tax reform bill across the hall that Rich's guys will get a good look at, and it moves everything into dollars and cents. It allows some things to keep new growth and stuff, but it does lock them down, and if they go over a 3% increase on any of the budgets, it requires a vote of the people. We'll see how that makes it through the Senate. We think that without property tax reform, your property taxes are going to continue to climb.
Thank you.
Scott, I'd like to make a comment about that. I want to make sure that everybody understands when you talk about school funding. There's 115 mills that we took and put in state funding three sessions ago. They're not there. It used to be when you levied property taxes on the local property tax people, they had 185. They could be as high as 185 mills. Now, I know that's not dollars, but 185 mills, we cut it back to 70. And so I realized that property taxes continued to go up a little bit. Part of it was due to the good prices in crops that's on farmland. Remember, that is a production formula. It is not like it is in town where when somebody sells a home for $400,000, then all of a sudden everybody in the neighborhood, their property values go up. That isn't the way it works with aid. So I'm not sure just what the levy is for schools in that particular district, but I want people to understand that we continued to fund schools at the level they were last year.
And sounds good. Eric, thanks for the call. More coming up.
Let's go to Norway with a professional. My name is Carol Juven. I have been in Norway 153 times and had over 47,000 people on tour. Come and join me on the official Norskfest Norway Tour, May 29th through June 11th. See Norway at its very best. The fjords, the waterfalls, the spectacular mountains. Visit Finnmark's sister city of Skien. Meet and greet Bjørhamar. We don't just tour Norway, we meet the people. Phone me at 1-800-343-0093. That again is 1-800-343-0093. Space is limited. Welcome along.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym, my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
$32 an hour sound with a great company and great benefits. Keep listening. Grab a pen, write down a number, and you'll be on your way.
I'm ready.
Adam, are you ready, Todd? Yeah, me too. Especially the hours you and I work.
You may want to turn down the speakers elsewhere over in your studio there. We don't need everybody jumping ship right about now.
We'd be retired in no time. Anyway, Adam at Polar Service Center, and there are two North Dakota locations, one in Montana. Williston, Kildare, Billings need technicians right now. They're looking for trailer techs, tank welder, fabricators, testers. You can do suspension systems, brake jobs, electrical repairs. You can weld, you can fabricate. You're a certified tank inspector. You can make up to $32 an hour. Polar Service Center, Kildare, Williston. Call Adam right now. Here's the number, 701-495-0997. 495-0997, Polar Service Center. Back with the legislative leaders, Al Carlson, House Majority Leader, Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader, on What's on Your Mind Today, talking about the first half of the North Dakota legislative session. Before I take the next call, Al, what's your biggest frustration to this point? Something that you just feel it maybe isn't getting out that should get out, or what's?
Yeah, I, as far as the session going, I don't have one, but I do have a fact that the media a lot of times, especially in our market where you and I live, they know a lot more about the Minnesota session than they do North Dakota. We're impacting people every day, and it's kind of frustrating some of the things they cover and don't cover. I mean, we did a yeoman's job of getting a lot of bills passed, whether it be on the Second Amendment, whether it be on private property rights, whether it be on, there's so many issues I can't list them on, and whether it be schools and dealing with curriculum and what's going to be drafted. All those things are important to people, but doesn't get much playback here. And that's why it's good that we talk to you guys and kind of bring updates. And we don't want to be reactionary. We want to respond to the concerns of our citizens. I think we're doing a great job of that. So I'm not concerned about the session. It's about getting the message out that we're providing for the people.
Rich, how about you? Any particular frustration so far?
Not really. I'll tell you what. Everybody's been working hard, both in the House and the Senate. I'm really pleased with the appropriations people because they've made some tough decisions in those committees.
Larry and Horace, next on What's on Your Mind for our legislative guests. Go ahead.
Yeah, Scott and Al. The diversion authority is going to start the construction on the intake control structure right south of Horace. And my question is, I think that's a waste of money at this stage, because if they cannot build the diversion and the dam, that money, that $5 to $10 million spent on that structure, will just be sitting there with no purpose. Plus, it is also going to ruin some farmland that could stay into production, because if the diversion is not built, that's going to be as a monument to to a folly that that never will get built. So I would say that the diversion authority should not be building that until they get the permits to be able to complete the whole project.
You know, agree or disagree?
Well, I can't tell you that I know a whole lot about it, because our response from the state level has been that we fund 50% of the local share of a project. And that was established back with John Hoven. It was going to be $900 million for state and local. We committed $450 million. We gave the a whole list of checklists of things that they had to do before our state money was released. They have checked off the blanks that we gave them, five different items. I don't remember them all. So our commitment to this is the money, and then up to the then it's going to be moved back to the local subdivisions. We will pay when those things are checked off. You can like the project or hate the project, but our commitment is for interior flood protection and $450 million for the diversion. And if those guys in the Corps of Engineers came to see us last week and said, "Hey, we got it all ready to go, and we're going to bring home more money from the Corps for the diversion, and we're ready to start." Now, I know there's still a Minnesota lawsuit, but from the state's perspective, when they checked all the boxes, we're pretty much on the back burner there, except providing the money as they need it, and we'll not give one more nickel to it than we've committed.
For Al and Rich, so you both get to answer this one, texter, are we being business-friendly conservatives? Are we being investment-friendly conservatives? Renaissance Zone, Angel Tax, Wind War, Wind War. I brought that one up. I'll start with you, Rich, on that, because I saw what was going on in the Senate this week, back and forth in the committee, and it seemed as though, I know at one point you were even talking about a moratorium on wind, and that was later changed, but what's going on? I totally get the challenges that the coal industry has, and it's an important industry to the state. I totally get that, and I am not a big wind fan, but I am a fan of all of the above energy sources. Where we want to, anybody that wants to invest money in this state, we make some of these, wind towers in the state. And LM Glass Fiber up in Grand Forks does the fiberglass blades as well. Are we getting a little unbusiness friendly here?
Well, I don't know. The people who brought the idea of a moratorium forward are concerned about 20 years down the line when, right now, wind is highly subsidized from the federal government. They get a production tax credit, they get a bonus depreciation, and they can sell electricity to the grid at negative pricing, which really puts a crimp into coal. But when we look 20 years out, we want to make sure we have base load to make sure we will always have affordable and reliable energy. Because when the tax credits go away, then I wonder, and they wonder, what is the price of electricity going to be? So I think this was just kind of a wake-up call to say, hey, we maybe better take a good look at it. I'm for all of above, too, but we got to be a little bit careful about the future.
The production tax credit, by the way, I personally agree with you. I think the industry even recognizes that that can't be sustained and probably won't. What about the other questions in that question? Renaissance Zone, Angel Tax? Some of these things look to be a little anti-business.
They were all on the House side, and I assume
people know what the Renaissance Zone is. So I just quickly say it's how a lot of downtowns have developed, and probably the crown jewel of the Renaissance Zone, which is a legislative program, is downtown Fargo. Nobody can look at that and say it didn't work. And then the other one would be the angel funds, and we've talked about that. It's basically access to capital from these different angel funds, and there were some incentives.
There's two ways to get money. You can tax somebody, or you can give away money by giving exemptions. And we've had to look at these exemptions, because when you add them up, Scott, you're not talking $1,000 here and $1,000 here. You're talking $6 million, $8 million, $10 million worth of revenue that we don't have on some of these exemptions. The Renaissance Zone, all we did was say there'll be no more income tax deduction for the Renaissance Zone. The locals can still give away the property tax all as long as they want. And the angel funds, we reduced the credit from 40 to 25, and we said that you got to build the product in North Dakota. 80% of the products have to be built. It's meant as an economic development tool for North Dakota, not for Minnesota. So we just tightened up our law on angel funds and seed capital investment tax credits, basically to match the liberal state of Minnesota. We were way beyond them on the credits we were giving away. So we had to make some tough choices. These are our friends. But what you have to do is you got to realize how much money you can afford to give away and still balance the budget.
Was the Renaissance Zone a question of, money? The dollars there?
There's $6 million that by not giving the income tax exemption, we save $6 million. that helped us pay for the dollars we had to put back in for our elderly in our nursing homes.
Do you think it will impact the program?
I don't think it will impact at all, because I believe most people do that Renaissance Zone project because of the real estate tax exemption they get locally for 5 years. Also, we might have to look in the Senate at a grandfather for some of those that have already started that we inadvertently took away, you know, and they've just started building them and had their applications approved. We'll look back at that and see if we can fix it.
Bob, Jamestown, question for our guest, Al Carlson, Rich Wardner, on What's on Your Mind Today. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to this program every day, and I've been trying to keep up with what's been going on in the legislature, but I would like an update, if you would, please, on if and will there be anything done with property taxes. And the reason I bring it up, I know it's a bad time because our revenues are down because of oil and things, but with elderly aunts and uncles living out there trying to stay in their homes, nothing for Social Security raises the last 5 years. There have been a couple little ones, but then Medicare takes up the raise. But our local property tax in our cities just seem like they go way up. Now, a few years ago, you guys did have like 40% or not 40, but 25% property tax relief. But then the cities added some more onto it. So we really never got the good feeling about, hey, we're finally saving some money every February instead of paying our property taxes. What can you guys tell me?
All right, Rich, you want to start with that?
Well, I can. I will tell you, first of all, we're still committed to the property tax relief that we have. I know it could come in two different forms. First of all, the school property tax relief is still there. That's $750 million. That if we hadn't have made that change and taken 115 mils off of the books three sessions ago, you'd be paying it. We also, and this was Senator or Representative Carlson's bill to do a 12% buy down. We're going to do that. It might come. It might be a straight buy down, or it might be in the fact that we would do the social services. The state would take over county social services, which would take up to 20 mils off the books, and they would be gone. And I know that Representative Carlson has some other, and he already mentioned them, that some other ideas on property tax reform going forward.
We need to reform the system, because until we get the local taxpayer, like this man who called in, engaged in the process, and get it into an understandable number, because quite honestly, nobody knows what a mill means. And a mill in Fargo raises a lot more money than a mill in Jamestown does. So we have to get that back into dollars and cents. We have to get the people, so if they don't like the way the budget was put forward, they can vote on it. And if we do that and move it, it's truly a local tax. Us getting involved in the first place was because there was so much cry, and Senator Hovind was there when we started it. And the humanitarian cry saying the tax we hate the most is real estate tax. And I hope that the Senate takes a good look. And Rich, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but some of these reform things, if we can reform the process, we will still try and save that also, that 12% in one fashion or another as we go to the second half.
All right. I appreciate the call, Bob. Thank you very much. We only have about a seconds left. So what to pick here? How much do state employees pay of their health insurance? How about finding some money there?
They don't pay any percentage of that. They did increase their deductibles and co-pays a little bit this year, but we pay 100% of the premium, and we have kind of a unitized premium. If you had looked at them separately, it'd probably be about $1,600 for a family, about $800 for a single. It averages out to about $1,200 a month, and there's a $21 million increase. The governor, the new governor requested a 5% copay on the part of the public employees. That is not included in either of our budgets, and Rich can finish on that.
I only have about 10 seconds for a cherry on the top of this sundae. Rich, what do you got?
Well, the only thing I was going to follow up on, Al, and that is we didn't take the 5% where they would have to pay it, because they're not going to get a raise. So state employees are going to...
When you say take from the governor's budget, you mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
the governor
yeah.
had the...
Yeah.
Had...
He brought that in, and we did not accept that yeah. part of it.
Got it. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll do this again soon. Obviously, lots to cover and never enough time. We appreciate it. Al Carlson, Rich Wardner.
A familiar smile as you walk in the door. A handshake accompanied by a warm hello. Full service attention to all of your financial needs. It's what you expect from First International Bank and Trust. From personal to business banking, our professionals provide the perfect solution to any financial situation. First International Bank and Trust has been banking locally and responsibly for over 100 years. We give you the best personal attention to help you find your perfect financial solution. With flexible banking options like online banking and mobile and tablet apps, your money can be everywhere you are. You can even deposit checks with your phone using mobile check deposit. When you worry less about money, you have more time to live first. Visit us online or stop by any of our convenient locations. Get what you have come to expect. First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Troy Oglem of Northwood. Backed by popular demand, the North Dakota Soybean Council is sponsoring a See for Yourself program to Portland, Oregon, July 11th through the 14th, for North Dakota soybean producers to see their checkoff dollars at work. Learn about checkoff investment in rail and water transportation, soy biodiesel, agricultural advocacy training, and tour shipping ports where North Dakota soybeans leave for Asia. Experience firsthand the systems in which North Dakota Soybean Council invests to ensure market stability for your soybeans. If selected, airfare, lodging, and most meals will be reimbursed. North Dakota soybean farmers are invited to apply to participate in this See for Yourself program by April 17th. Log on to ndsoybean.org and apply today.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Big weekend for the UND hockey team. Finding Subi taking the ice for the last regular season weekend, and it's a big one because they just got to, you know, keep inching up there and stay in the hunt for a playoff position and get into the playoffs for sure and keep cranking. Been a tough year, but, you know, hey, tough years happen. They happen. But anyway, I'm heading up there later today, participating in a forum with the folks at the University of North Dakota. Some great petroleum engineering students that are coming out of that school that are looking for homes, and look forward to chatting about that a little bit later today. And also then taking tonight's game, of course, Monday. We have, what do we all got? Safety Toga going. We have John Gottfried going to join us next week, North Dakota Insurance Commissioner, and special Obamacare repeal talk radio town hall. We've been working on that one for a while. Looking forward to that, Congressman Kramer and more, and so much going on. So a lot happening. Chris Berg, a point of view. joins us next. You can watch Chris 6:30 on KX4 in the eastern North Dakota, western Minnesota viewing area, or on West on West Dakota Fox at 10:30 at night, or online anytime at POVnow.tv. I'd like to do this. We have about 5 minutes here. I want a little bit on yesterday's town hall, a little bit on the events of clearing the camp, and then let's finish with your assessment of Donald Trump at CPAC, because we were on the air. We played, picked up a couple of clips, but don't have all of it. So, first of all, happy Friday to you, Chris.
Happy Friday, my friend. What a week, huh?
Unreal. Just amazing. It really is.
Have you seen the email that just came down from the Senate Leadership Fund and the AP, the Associated Press, the story about Senate Dems in trouble?
No, I have not.
So I want to share this with you since you're talking about the town hall from yesterday. Hillary Clinton just tweeted out, if you can't stand the heat, get out of Congress. So I don't know if she's suggesting that Heidi Heitkamp should get out of Congress or not, but the AP just released a story talking about how these Senate Dems are hiding from their people. And I got to share with you a piece from this AP story, Scott, that is laughable. So they talked about all these Senate Dems that are hiding out from their constituents, which obviously Senator Heitkamp's doing, and her press people sent back to the AP a statement basically saying, hey, we know that she's avoided the town halls, but she did participate in flood issue discussions in northeastern North Dakota, attended a ribbon cutting, and she's planning to tour a local National Weather Service on Friday. Oh. Compared to what Kevin Cramer did yesterday, that is like playing Little League baseball compared to the major leagues. I mean, Kevin Cramer knew he was going to be taking arrows, stepped up there and did an outstanding job. Whether you like him or not, and I said this last time on a show, you got to respect him for getting up there and doing it, knowing that he was going to be taking some fire.
And, of course, Heidi Heitkamp has said that there are things in Obamacare that are no good, right? That's sort of how she kind of, juked and jived her way into office by not exactly being a full-throated supporter. She was, obviously, but she more than anyone belongs at one of those town halls. That's very interesting. Here's what I think is very obvious about these town halls. The idea, first of all, there is a Trump derangement syndrome that is overtaking the left. And it's really scary and sad, and it's angry and loud. And they serve a useful purpose for the legislative process, because the idea is get members of Congress to go to these town halls and get the living heck scared out of them, right? The people are mad, they don't want this, then they go back and they're less likely to cooperate with the Trump administration. That's what it's all about.
You think so? Yeah, I guess I see that. I mean, there's no doubt people are flipping out over him, but there's nothing new here. I mean, I'm going to talk about this tonight on my show. Everyone's talking about Donald Trump came out of nowhere. And, I mean, when I show you some clips tonight from 6 years ago and from 4 years ago, you are going to freak out. You're going to be stunned when you see these clips of what he was saying that long ago and what he's saying today. It is
Why are we going to be stunned? Because they're so similar?
Yeah. I mean, he's been saying this now, and my point is, think back to when Ann Coulter was on the Bill Maher show, or when Keith Ellison was on ABC This Week with George Snuffleupagus. I mean, people were laughing at Donald Trump becoming the nominee, laughing at Donald Trump becoming president, and he told you what he was going to do 6 years ago, and now, oh my gosh, here he is in the White House at 1600 Penn.
Interesting point. And again, that's what I think the political class misses so often. Only have a minute left. What did Trump say today?
I haven't seen it. I was doing my morning show, so I've not seen what he said today, but I'm going to watch it and cannot wait, because we'll talk about that tonight as well.
I forgot you're on the air same time I'm on the air. You're over baking cookies on the
otherwise I'd be trying to be with you every day tuning in. And so, yeah.
Okay, so last thing, your take on, the another chapter closed in the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. What'd you think of that?
Just have to acknowledge a few things. One, I love the fact that Congressman Cramer started this town hall yesterday with a prayer for law enforcement about the Dakota Access Pipeline situation. We had Sheriff Kirkmeyer on last night, and God bless every single law enforcement person to pull this thing off with nobody getting killed. And Doug Burgum, I think, has done an outstanding job leading the charge, building that bridge with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, and really trying to separate between North Dakota Native Americans versus these, as you call them, eco-terrorist protesters that just aren't part of North Dakota. And I think once you made that delineation, it was a lot easier to go, okay, we don't want you here, get out of here, and now they're gone.
So true. And more to come. Other camps need to be cleared for sure. It's a money-making enterprise, so people are not quick to leave when they're cashing in. And there's a lot of it going on. So lots to follow there. Chris, have a great show tonight.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Who's on, by the way, real quick? He's gone. God bless you, folks. I'm gone, too. See you tomorrow, Monday. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Best place ever because you have some fun things like the Olhausen Game Tables. Tell me about it.
I know I'm a sales guy, but it is the best pool table made, period. And here's the fun thing about Olhausen. They'll not only customize your own pool table, whatever you want on it, however you want it stained, whatever wood you want to use, but they can make a matching shuffleboard table, matching foosball table, matching game table. They can do the whole thing for you. So their whole room can be done specifically and designed specifically how you and your family want it.
You sell more Bison logos or UND logos?
Bison right now. When the Fighting Sioux were out there, it was definitely more Fighting Sioux tables. But, you know, right now, I'd give the edge to the Bison.
Vikings tables, they've got them all. And, folks, right now's the time to buy because no interest, no payments for a year. Play now, pay later, bubble hockey. Air hockey, darts, foosball, pool tables too at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Minot.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare? Having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.